Ladies and gentlemen, but mostly gentlemen. You know, looking at the stats, it's mostly gentlemen. So what's going on, everybody? Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm going to be stalling for a few minutes just so I can let people join in as they come in. So thanks so much for checking out the podcast. This is episode one of my YouTube podcast, but I have posted about 16 podcasts previous to this one. You can see those on the different podcasting apps, whether it's for Android, for Apple, or on Spotify. So the app that I usually use for that, for anybody who's ever thought of doing their own podcast, is called Anchor, and you just record straight from your phone and it gets uploaded to all those different channels. What's up, Sean? What's going on, buddy? Thanks so much for tuning in. And yeah, this is going to be the podcast. So I have a number of topics that I'm going to be discussing. But overall, I wanted to just give you guys a little bit of a demonstration of what sort of studio space. You know, you guys see me every week. You see the white background. You see the green light. You see the plant. But what essentially does all this mean? Why did I decide to do all this? And yeah, so when I watch professional videos on product reviews and all that other stuff on YouTube, you know, one of the things that I notice is that they have different accent lighting. So if you see product reviews, it's never just the product review, or just never just the product with a plain background. There's always some type of accent lighting, some type of, you know, additional stuff that really accentuates that product. And so I have the green light over there, which sort of, you know, mellows it out, and I do change it. Do change the light color based off of, you know, different type of stuff. So one week I'll do green, orange. I actually have this light, and I'm going to show you guys essentially the setup right now. But the light goes on the ground just over there, and I can control it with a microphone, with a remote control, which allows me to adjust the light to whichever color. So let me give you guys a little bit of a demonstration of my little studio that I have here. So this is literally, when I say studio, I literally mean my garage. So in the summertime, I try to film in my garage as much as possible, because that is essentially, you know, where I can get the most space away from, you know, my family and everybody. Not that I'm trying to avoid them, but, you know, you guys don't want to see any type of, you know, background noise or anything like that. So I have my lighting set up right here. So each video that I have, you see the two lights right there. I sit in this table, which was also used for beer pong many, many years. And then there's the chair. And as you can see, the plant is right there. I got this from HomeSense, which is a house store in Canada. But it cost me like $80. But when I bought it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be keeping this. So I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go for it. So here's the garage. This is this little rack right here I got from IKEA. That is where, when I do a lot of clothing reviews, you'll see that in the background. I also have all the little toys from my niece and nephew. So you can also see, you know, little soccer balls and little toys. And also you can see where all my sneakers are from when I filmed the video that I just posted recently for Top Fall clothing items. You can see those there. But yeah, this is essentially it. You know, I got the mini fridge right there. And I also, just like I said, have all my light fixtures and stuff like that. The reason why I post, the reason why I post or record all my videos in the garage is essentially because, you know, during the winter when I'm inside, because it does get cold in here, I basically run out of space, and I take over my entire house, which is not something favorable, and not something that, you know, my parents and the rest of my family members want. So essentially, that is a little bit of the studio. So I hope you guys are, you know, let me know what you think about it in the comments section. I'm just going to set you guys up right here, and I'm also just going to do a toast. Podcast episode one. We're back, baby. Podcast is back. Super excited. Like I said, I'm gonna be having great guests over. So this is an amazing time. So cheers to you guys. Alrighty, and I say without further ado, we jump into the topics that I have. So I basically, you know, it's been a great year for me on my YouTube channel. And I just basically want to take you guys a year in review. So 2019 was a year that I really, really hit the ground running on YouTube. I started posting way more There literally hasn't been a week where I've missed, where I haven't posted anything. Shout out to you, Sean. Thanks for the congratulations on that. So there hasn't been a week that I've missed where I haven't posted anything. I've posted every single week, if not multiple times per week. And 2019 was the year where I was just like, you know what? If there's any time to do it, it's right now, and I've been working really hard. So thanks to anybody who's been watching the videos regularly, supporting the content, you know, and following me on Instagram, where you're seeing the great content that I'm posting there. So that's number one. So in January, that's when I started to really, really focus and double down on, you know, a lot of the videos that I make. So one of the videos that you guys, series that you guys know that I post often are the How to Style series. So, you know, literally the first or second day of the year, I started with the How to Style Air Jordan 3 series. I filmed that with my dad. My dad helps me with a lot of the videos that I post, so shout out to him. You can check him out on Instagram at Stephen Moore Photography, where he's posting amazing videos, mostly of my niece and nephew, which is amazing. And so that's where the whole How to Style series came about. You know, a big inspiration for me on YouTube was Eddie Nguyen. He is, in my opinion, one of that sort of founder of, you know, guys posting fits on YouTube. You know, YouTube traditionally was, you know, very sneaker oriented early on, but it was very much just like getting the camera and pointing it down at your shoes and being like, hey, these are the shoes that I got. But for me, I was always into fashion, so I'm like, you know what, I want to see how you posted the video, or how you put the outfit together, and sort of why you put the outfit together. So that's something that I've been really focusing on myself, and you know, I really enjoy making those types of videos, and it really works my creative muscle in terms of editing styles and stuff like that. From there, you know, I posted in February the How to Style Air Jordan 6 video, which was done really, really well for me. It's one of my most viewed videos, and I'm really happy about that. So thanks to anybody who's ever watched it. Currently it has 13 views shy of 20,000. What's up, Steve? What's crackalackin'? Yeah, it's 13 views shy of 20,000, so pretty pumped about that. And overall, you know, the channel is going really well, so thanks again to everybody who's been supporting. And then, you know, in February, I went to Florida. I posted some great content there. I was able to go to some cool stores like Kith and, you know, some of the other spots in Miami. Had an amazing time there, so I posted a couple vlogs. I noticed that you guys enjoy more videos about like sneakers and stuff like that. So, you know, that's the type of stuff that I mainly focus on. But yeah, it's, you know, after Florida, that's when I posted my How to Style Adidas tracksuit video, which did really well for me. And currently, that's my second most watched video at 28,000 views. So shout out to everybody who's been watching that. It was only then that I realized, you know, how much you guys are actually enjoying, you know, the How to Style videos. So I was like, you know what, let me really push the gas on the How to Style video. So that's what I really focused on. So once a week, every week, I just started posting these How to Style videos, where it was, you know, How to Style Air Jordan 4, How to Style basketball shorts, Air Jordan 1 lows, Yeezy 350s, and I really have this good collection now of How to Style videos that, not to say that I'm known for them, but, you know, if you look at my most watched videos, those were a majority of where the views came. In fact, my number one watched video is a How to Style Supreme Fanny Pack, which has 65,000 views. And that was one of the first videos that I ever posted. And it is honestly one of the worst videos I've ever posted, because it was super early on, but I was very quick. You know, when I bought the fanny pack, it came in a week, and then right away I filmed, and right away I uploaded it. So, you know, timing on YouTube is a huge thing, and it's something that I've been really focusing on. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, unless I have a plug to get sneakers early, timing is only limited by, you know, the postal service or whatever it is. So, and also my ability to record. You know, I have a full-time job, which I'll get into in a little bit, but I'm sort of limited by these types of things. So, you know what, other than that, everything's been going great. You know, I've been posting a lot of reviews on different clothing and different sneakers, you know, doing how to style, or not how to style, but, you know, back to school reviews and you know, top fall sneakers and stuff like that. So that's been a really big thing. And, you know, this summer I went to Portugal, which I had an amazing time. And yeah, so like I said, the year in review has been really amazing, a lot of progress, and I'm just a couple metrics shy of monetizing my channel. So that's obviously going to be a huge thing for me, because my ultimate goal here is to, you know, make enough money where I can not feel guilty about buying sneakers, because I'm such a lunatic when it comes to buying shoes, buying clothing, that, you know what, like, I'm sort of a hoarder where I have no issues having 1,000 pairs of sneakers where it takes up my whole house. Like, that to me is, you know, I don't want to say something that I strive for, because I don't think hoarding, but I do want to get to a point where I don't feel guilty about buying sneakers, or I don't have to watch my budget, where, you know, the money that I'll be making from YouTube will sort of funnel into, you know, creating content for you guys and stuff like that. So that's one of the things that I wanted to do. So that's pretty much the year in review, as I mentioned. And now I'm going to be talking about some upcoming releases or some sneakers that I wanted to spotlight. So starting with the What the Air Jordan 4. And because I'm very limited to my technological abilities, I'm just going to be pulling them up on my computer. The What the Air Jordan 4 is basically a collection, and basically, you know, for those that don't know, is a montage and sort of like this, you know, collaborative effect of all famous Air Jordan. So as you can see, famous Air Jordan colorways of a particular one. So you can see that, you know, you see the little bit of the fire reds in there, you see the military blues, the white cement fours, the black cement fours. And you know what, some of these are all my favorites. The one of the first hyped Jordans I ever bought was the white cement Air Jordan 4. And that is a sneaker I still have today and that I wear all the time. And that was one of the pinnacle sneakers in my collection, where, you know, that really, really got me going, and really, you know, it showed me that feeling that I get when I get a new pair of sneakers that I'm really excited about. So that was one of the first ones I ever picked up. And overall, I think the shoe itself is, it's so-so. Historically, when you look at the best What the Air Jordan sneakers, sorry, and not just Air Jordans, but, you know, when you think of like the What the Dunk, which is one of the most sought after sneakers, it's not really a wearable shoe. When you look at some of the What the LeBrons, the LeBron 10s, What the Kobe's, these aren't really wearable shoes. And the issue that I have is they sort of tried to make it wearable, which isn't really true to the What the theme, right? So that's the only sort of issue that I have with this, is that they're trying to make it a lifestyle shoe, which I get. But in my opinion, I think that they should have just scrapped the What the theme for this one, and instead just done, you know, a new colorway, which is easier said than done. I'll give them that. But in my opinion, if you're going to do the What the, make it ugly, make it tacky, make a limited release so that people can sought after, they can put it up on their shelves or what have you. So that's what I think about the sort of What the series and how they should go about doing it. But overall, is it something that I'm going to be picking up? Probably not, but I am interested to hold it in hand. I'm interested in doing a review for you guys. But ultimately, if I do get my hands on them, I would probably let them go. But who knows if I can even buy them, because buying shoes seems to be getting, you know, more difficult, but also easy at the same time, because, you know, of all these StockX's and platforms of the world. And speaking of hard to get sneakers that I entered many raffles in and had to pull a couple favors, it is the Air Jordan 1 UNC, or the Air Jordan 1 Obsidian. So shout out to any of you guys that were able to pick up a pair. I know my buddy Nelson, he got two per, but, you know, like I said, I went to Sherway, which is a local mall. I did two raffles there, one at Foot Locker, one at Champs, and I brought my girlfriend with me. She did one at Foot Locker, one at Champs. None of us won, which is, you know, it's fine. You know, you win some, you lose some. I could have gone to Square One, which is another mall, but I just didn't have the time. Overall, I think it's a clean sneaker. I think the sort of saving grace with this one, and one of the reasons why I love it so much is because it has that cream and that off-white that sort of balances all together. I think had it been pure white, it still would have been a clean colorway, but I kind of like that that it was off-white. Shout out to you, Sean, for getting all those pairs. You're lucky. You got to connect me with your plug. But yeah, that's what I think about the ones. You know, when you have lifestyle colorways like these, it's an alley-oop for me. I'll get these all day. It just depends on whether or not I can literally buy them. So who the hell knows? Either way, you know, you can wear these with a pair of light wash jeans. You can wear these a pair of navy, you know, regular blue jeans. Very clean colorway. I saw somebody wearing them this weekend, so he must have pulled them out straight out the box, which I definitely respect. But for me, you know what? I would have loved to have gotten these, but it's just not something that I was able to get. Either way, resale for the Air Jordan ones has been absolutely nuts lately, which is, you know, neither here nor there. You know, I respect anybody who's trying to collect their paper. But you know what? You're kind of spoiling it for me, which I'm a little bit salty about. No worries. It's cool. Like I said, when I found out that I didn't get these, it was kind of like, okay, whatever. Like, A, they'll either re-release or re-retro down the line, or B, you know what? There'll be a new colorway coming out. So, you know, as I've sort of matured with this whole sneaker thing, I get less FOMO, less fear of missing out. It's, if I miss a release, it is what it is. The only time I do get a little bit salty is when it's like sort of like an off-white sneaker or one of those more hype releases. Sean, I'm glad the money was good on those. But it is what it is. You know what? The name of the game also is when you do get a pair like these, it's got to be a quick flip. You got to get it. You got to pass it on. But either way, that's perfectly okay. Next up, next shoe that I want to talk about is the Hyper Adapt Huarache. Yeah, it's clean shoe. Wild though, too wild for me. I respect the whole tech aspect of it. I like this whole Hyper Adapt thing with the self-lacing sneakers. I think that's really cool, and I think that I'm very excited to see where this technology goes. And you know, when we do get a better sense of where the technology lies and how they can add it to more casual sneakers, then I'll be interested in picking it up. You know, I think the retail price on this was $350, releasing September 13th. But you know what? This is sort of how the game goes for me now. When I see a pair of sneakers, you know, the Hyper Adapt Huaraches, for me, the way that I think about it is content for YouTube and Instagram, but do I really want them, right? So there's this kind of push and pull between the two, and it sort of gets frustrating for me because it's like, do I actually want these shoes to purchase, or do I want to get them to make reviews? So there's constantly a balance between the two. But you know what? I think that, like I said, this is a cool concept, the whole Hyper Adapt thing. I really enjoy it. I think it's really cool. And you know what? It's only a matter of time before they throw this on like an Air Jordan 1 colorway or something. So, you know, the technology is going to be there. The Nike Mags are obviously a pinnacle shoe and one of the most hyped and sought after releases in all of sneakerhead realm. You know, you name it, it's up there for one of the best. I think it's like 40, 50 grand, something crazy like that. But you know what? I think this is cool. Maybe if they chose a different colorway, I'd be really more interested in it. I personally think that the Hyper Adapt BB in that Air Mag colorway is one of the better versions of this. I'm not too impressed by this, but I do like how they're adding this Hyper Adapt to new sneakers and new colorways. So, and you know what, Huarache, for those that don't know, truly historical sneaker. You know, one of the best designs from Tinker Hatfield. The fact that, you know, it was designed after a scuba suit where it's that wetsuit where you just slide in and it's sort of that one piece upper. Very cool. It's got the exoskeleton is what they call it on the outside, which sort of got sneakers and flipped it inside out. It's sort of this inside out design where, you know, you slip your foot in and the support comes from the outside. So very revolutionary for its time. Next up is the Air Jordan 6, Travis Scott. So, everybody's new favorite sneakerhead influencer designer is Travis Scott, right? He just released his new Netflix special, which I need to watch. And yeah, I love his music. He's one of my favorite artists. And naturally, since he is, you know, a big sneakerhead, and also can obviously design sneakers, you know, the more and more I really am starting to appreciate his designs, his artistry. So this got me thinking about what the best Air Jordan 6 release is, or not Air Jordan 6, but what the best Travis Scott release is. But before we get into that, I just want to talk about some of my favorite features of this shoe in particular. One of the things, the Army Green, I think it's very cool. I'm very glad that they didn't do all Army Green, which we've seen on a couple sneakers. And I do like how the off-white accents, the Army Green along with the orange hits, right? So you can tell this is very reminiscent of the undefeated Air Jordan 4, which is, you know, somewhere on everybody's grail list. So I think that's really cool. And also it's got the stash pocket along the side over here. Sorry, I'm just on Hypebeast right now. But, you know, you got the stash pocket where you can hide various substances that are either legal or non-legal. But either way, Air Jordan 6, very dope. Quality on these looks amazing. But where does this stack up for the best Travis Scott sneaker releases? So I ranked them. I did my little list here. And you know what? I'm just going to pull up the images off StockX just because they're in front of me. But number five, is the Air Force One Low in the Sail colorway. Let me see if this will focus properly. There you get a better look. This is very clean. This was sort of the first opportunity they gave him to design sneakers. So I'm curious to know whether or not this shoe flopped. Would he have received all the Air Jordans that had followed? Who knows? Either way, this is very cool. One of the most notable things about it, of course, is the fact that you can take the swoosh on and off. And I think that's really cool. And that sort of spawned a whole bunch of other sneakers where you could take the swoosh on and off. You saw that on the Tinker Hatfield Air Jordan 3s, that red and white colorway. So I think that's very cool there. But other than that, canvas sneaker, quality on these isn't really amazing. Resale right now is going for $700 a pair, approximately US, which or US or Canadian? Yeah, $700 Canadian was the last sale on these, which is actually pretty impressive. But it's very cool. Comes with the little tongue tab. You can't really see it, but right here it does have that little lace loop, I guess you would call it. I'm not exactly sure. So that's number five for me. Let me know where it stacks up on your list. I think it's obviously a great shoe. Air Force One is obviously one of the best shoes of all time. But number four on the list is interesting, and that is, can anybody guess? Number four on the list is, in fact, the Air Jordan 4. So this shoe is very cool. The reason why I think it's amazing is because of the sort of uniqueness and the theme. So a lot of people do collaborations and they come up with these cool colorways, but there isn't oftentimes a theme attributed to it. There's less storytelling. Travis Scott is obviously from Houston, and this is reminiscent of the Houston Oilers, which is an old NFL team that used to be around in the 80s and the 90s. So this is sort of a nod to that team, and their colors for their kits and their jerseys were this light baby blue, as you see here, the black, and then the hits of red. So I think it's very cool that he gave a little nod to Houston and stuff like that. So I think these are great, but I don't love them. And the reason why, well, I do like them, but the reason why they're not higher up on the list is because the colorway is sort of a little bit more trickier to rock, right? I think that they're great. I've heard material qualities are good. I've held them in hand at different sneaker shows and stuff like that. But the reason why they don't make my number one list is simply because they're just a little bit more difficult to rock. My sort of style lately is sort of more natural tones, light browns, and stuff like that. So I think I may have just ruined which the number one shoe is. But either way, I'm into more lifestyle tones. So That's the reason why that one didn't make the number one list. But either way, still very clean. That was sort of one of the best. Sean, is it the Air Jordan 1 lows or is it the Air Jordan 1 highs? Because there's a big difference. So yeah, the next one though is, let me just pull up the image here. The next one on the list in terms of the best Travis Scott Air Jordans or sneakers in general is the Air Jordan 1 Lows. So the Air Jordan 1 Lows came out recently. I did a bunch of raffles for them to no success. Or not a raffles. I did do the Nike sneakers drop, but that was US only. So I was willing to bite the bullet on duty fees and driving to Buffalo to pick them up, but this is what I was going for, and I think it's great. I think it's clean. I love the backward swoosh, but how this colorway compares to the highs, it just isn't really in comparison. But I still think it's clean. I love the brown suede on these. I like the red, but there's just something about it. I like how the paneling and the contrast colors go a little bit better on the highs. I love that off-white sole that you see there. I think that really, really sets off the brown and the black. But overall, this just wasn't my number one pick. Doesn't matter because I think it's a great shoe. And the Air Jordan 1 Lows, I'm a big fan of this year. And as you know, I did do a How to Style Air Jordan 1 Low video for the University Gold colorway. So if you're interested in that, you can always check it out on my channel. But yeah, didn't love the Air Jordan 1, didn't love the Travis Scott 1 Lows. Still wanted to pick them up because they're a great shoe. But when it comes to ranking all of the Travis Scott releases, I had to throw that to the number 3 spot. Number 2 is an unreleased colorway. I decided to throw them in. Friends and Family Edition. Is it, what can anybody guess? It's the purple colorway. So, the purple colorway is fire. I think this is a dope shoe. There's certain things that come along where you see it and you're just like, oh shit, that's a dope shoe. So when you think of the M&M, I'm gonna pull it up just so you guys can get a reference. But when you think of the M&M Air Jordan 4s, right? One of the most sought after sneakers. They're almost like a unicorn where they're priceless. There's so few on the market where it's hard to give a price for them. And I'm not talking about the ones that came out a couple years back. I'm talking about these blue joints right here. If anybody remembers these blue M&M Air Jordan 4s, right? These were killing the blogs a number of years ago. These, like, when you see this colorway, I know, you know, through the screen, when you see these, you're like, oh shit, like that's a clean colorway, right? But that doesn't stack up against, you know, other Air Jordan 4s. But the point is, the Travis Scott ones, those purple ones, for me, when you see those, it's that same reaction where I know I sort of just said that I'm into more lifestyle tones, but when you see certain shoes like those Air Jordan 4 M&M editions, you're just like, oh shit. So these, for example, are that same thing. They're purple. How well will I be able to rock them? Who knows? You wear them with a pair of black jeans and you're good to go. But the point is, these are unicorn and they have that wow factor. But the reason why they're number one is because they're number two on the list is because they have that oh shit factor, but in terms of wearability, just not there. The price for these, Jesus Christ, holy cow. Okay, holy shit, the price on these, you guys can't see it, it might be reversed because it's a video, $26,000 Canadian. $26,000 Canadian. You know what I could do with $26,000 right now? I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't have this studio in my garage if I had $26,000. But the number one, of course, as you guys can imagine, is the Travis Scott Air Jordan 1 High. Amazing shoe. In my opinion, this is the best release of the year. So keep that in mind when I drop my year-end review videos, best lists of the year stuff. So this is the number one release of the year for me for a number of reasons. Number one, backward swoosh. very, very, what people don't understand is from a brand perspective, having a backward swoosh is something that goes against a lot of what brands do. Brands work very, very hard to make sure that their logo or their branding is synonymous. So when people flip, when people reverse, change the colors of logos and publish them, that's a big no-no in terms of that sort of corporate world, right? So the fact that they did a backward swoosh on this is sort of like very, very unorthodox when it comes to, you know, a publicly traded company such as Nike, especially one that is, you know, super, super successful, you know, has, you know, it goes without saying how popular Nike is. But the point is, for them to do that backward swoosh and still nail it. They nailed it with this one. They really, really nailed it. For them to do that, kudos to them. Number two is the brown on this sneaker. I told you guys how that's sort of the steez that I'm on, is these brown, shades of brown, whatever. Love the suede on these. That really made it pop. I'm glad they didn't make it patent leather. I'm glad they didn't do regular leather. I'm glad they made it suede, and they really accented it off with that off-white sole that I just told you guys how much I love. Another thing, another small detail that goes a long way in my opinion, is the fact that this like collar right here is pleated. You guys can see I think that's super dope. It's very reminiscent of like luxury sneakers where you see those pleats like that. So I think that's very dope. But also one of the features that you can't really see on this is the fact that along the collar right here, it has another stash pocket. There's like a little area where you can open up and put whatever shit you want on there. So I think that's also dope, the details on these. And also, as you guys can see here, you have this little Cactus Jack logo, a little sad face, very dope. Qualities on these is obviously off the meat rack, which is dope. And then I think it's also cool how on the opposite side, it goes back to the regular swoosh. So I think that's very clean. And they could literally just release the shoe like that, and I think it would have done numbers. So kudos to them. Anyways, guys, that is all for this week's podcast. I wanted to cap this at 30 minutes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for checking out the videos week in and week out. I appreciate you guys. I encourage you to like this video, leave a comment, let me know what your favorite segment of this was, and I will try to do more stuff like that. I appreciate all of you guys that have been watching, supporting the channel, and what have you. I'm going to be doing these every single week, and I'm going to be holding myself to that so that I can really, you know, be posting more content for you guys. I'm trying to get to 3 videos a week, which, you know, doing that with a full-time job is very difficult, but I absolutely love it. So shout out to you guys. Peace.